Hi, I'm Heather Rutledge, Executive Director of ArtReach St. Croix, reporting on art news for the Shire. In March, the art news springs into action, but not where you'd expect. Art events can happen in unexpected places. In March, I suggest you go to the brewery, the library, and then you can go to a more traditional space, a black box theater. Start at Stillwater's Lift Bridge Brewing Company on Wednesday, March 30th, where the Minnesota Center for Book Arts is on the road. Get acquainted with letterpress printing and try your own design. You'll take home a handful of postcard-sized prints. Then, visit the Stillwater Public Library, where you can see Farm Fresh Photography by Lori Schneider. She photographs regenerative farmers who, through the very nature of their work, are creators and inventors, stewards and ambassadors. This show is on view in March and April. All of these events are being presented in preparation for the Big Read in the St. Croix Valley, which brings me to my top pick, an evening with Charlie McGuire at the Phipps Center for the Arts on Friday, April 1st, 7 p.m. Inspired by the common book title, Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, McGuire will sing songs of the Dust Bowl era. The Winnipeg Folk Festival says Charlie McGuire is something of a legend in the Midwest. He commands a respect far beyond his years with his stories and songs of the heartland. Charlie will dip into Woody Guthrie's Ballad of Tom Joad, but he promises not to sing all 26 verses. Tickets are available online, including $6.50 tickets for youth up to age 23. As always, you can find out about these and other events on stcroixsplash.org, the St. Croix Valley's online event calendar. Signing off, this is Heather Rutledge, Executive Director of ArtReach St. Croix, reporting on the art news for the Shire.
St. Croix Valley Art News is sponsored by Mainstream Boutique in Stillwater. Be as creative with your clothes as you are with your writing at St. Croix Valley's favorite shop. Multi-generational in its appeal, Mainstream Boutique offers teens, moms, and grandmas just the right clothing apparel to show off each one's individual flair. Located near Kowalski's on 5815 Neal Avenue North, Mainstream Boutique carries original pieces that guarantee your unique style.
Local student news is sponsored by Dunn Brothers in Stillwater, where the baristas craft your drink as sweet as you want it. Today's episode of Voices in the Valley is brought to you in part by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Find out how to make your buying and selling experience as stress-free as possible on wendygimple.com.
Paperback writer.
Good morning, and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. During the show, student writers and professional authors share tips, offer inspiration, and read selections from their work. We share what matters most with us, and today's show is going to be especially meaningful. I'm Steph at theshireonline.com, and I am here with my co-host and BFF, Dina Livingston.
Hello.
And Jenna, our amazing producer who keeps us on track and timely.
I do my best. Hello.
And you do a really fine job despite the odds.
So. Thank you, darling.
Well, today's topic is going to be I Can Do This, How to Take Risks and Say What You Want to Say. This is a part of our 12-part series on how to write a novel. We're well over two-thirds of the way through, and we've had a lot of fun with
it. We have. This has been great.
We've laughed. We've gotten ourselves into trouble sometimes.
A little bit.
We've done all kinds of things, and today we're going to be a little bit more serious as we consider being authentic in our artistic endeavors and what that means for us. And to do that, we have a really, I think, amazing and profound show. We're going to have Regina Peloso from Clyde Theatrical here to join us. We'll be interviewing her. And then in the last half of our show, Christina and Natalie, all the way from Lakeville and, I don't know, I think it's like Elk River, Minnesota. I'll have to double check with Natalie when she comes. We'll be here with Emma to interview Emma on a essay that she wrote and won a writing competition with that talks about the last goodbye with her father. So that will be
that'd be beautiful, I'm sure.
A really lovely and meaningful moment that we're so grateful to her for being willing to share. But first, we have artistic director Regina Peloso from Clyde Theatrical with us. Regina, welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Hi, thank you.
It's so good to have you here. Tell me just a little bit about Clyde.
Sure. Our mission is to create original Broadway-style jazz dance musicals. So I have a company of about four main dancers, and we produce two productions per year. And throughout those productions, we also engage with live musicians. We collaborate
Excellent.
With actors and vocalists, and we bring in guest dancers as well. Part of our mission is to create family-friendly programming engage live musicians in all of our performances and keep our ticket prices accessible for our community.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, so two things I have to say about that, Dina. One, we need to go and bring our girls.
That would be so great.
And then secondly, when is the next audition? Because, you know, Dina and I used to dance.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God.
We did ballet and jazz. Oh, we didn't really do ballet. We did jazz and tap and all those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I must admit, I
can drag out those dance pictures.
Yeah. I think we may have played Miss Pac-Man more than we actually danced.
Probably. Ate Cheetos out in the lobby.
And the vending machine was pretty attractive. But hey, we did dance and we acted too. So
you've got your jazz hands.
Yeah. We have jazz hands like you wouldn't believe, let me tell you.
So there wasn't a lot of options then.
Well, and I think we may have vaguely dreamed of making it big, but obviously...
Not as a dancer. I'm not pretty sure I knew early on early in the Bumblebee days, that was never going to happen.
So, Regina, when you were young, did you dream of being a dancer?
I did. My mom says that I got a flyer in the mail with a ballet dancer on it that came to the house, and I kept giving it to her and just pointing at it and shoving it at her. And she never danced, and she thought it was... I finally, I guess, talked her into taking class, but she thought it was some little fluke and that,
adorable.
You know, last a couple months.
So did it ever feel like it would be risky to be a dancer? Were you ever nervous about becoming a dancer? And let me ask you one more follow-up to that to include, how did you get to be from that little girl who was excited to see the ballerina dancer to where you are today as the artistic director of Clyde? Can you help us along that process?
Yes, it was not a straight and narrow, you know, pathway.
Okay.
I feel like that's a musical theater song, but it was a very windy path, and I tried many other things to try and get myself off the path because it's not an easy road whatsoever. I think any artist, no matter what you're, you know, there's also always a safer road to walk down that's got, you know, more stability and but I grew up here. I went to school for, you know, I was taking dance lessons. Again, there was nothing serious. I wanted to do it a lot more than, you know, my mother was able to drive me.
We get that.
Right. So it wasn't the path that, you know, I thought I would take. I went to a small school. I did not get the kind of technique that I needed, the dance training at a young age.
Yeah.
By the time I went to a school that was, you know, a very ballet focus school, I was very behind. And I was so far behind that I was in classes with kids younger than me. So I went around to the musical theater route and started doing musical theater dance. And I actually didn't dance for a few years in high school until I went into college. I ended up going out to Boston Conservatory of Music for a BFA in musical theater. And that's where I fell back in love with dance. From there, getting a BFA in musical theater, I still had to take classes in acting and voice and everything else. But that brought me to New York, where I started working as a musical theater performer.
Oh, wow. Amazing. In New York City?
Yes.
Regina, yeah. Wow, you are living the dream.
it's not as glamorous as the dream sounds, but I did.
Was that scary? I mean, certainly going to New York as...
You know, Boston was scarier for me. Coming from, I lived, you know, New Brighton, Minnesota. I was very, you know, went to private school for 12 years. I felt very sheltered. And going out to Boston and, you know, there's a subway and the way of life was so different living downtown, a big city, that really prepared me to move to New York. I never dreamed also when I went to school in Boston that I would move to New York.
Right.
You know, I always thought I'd just come home to Minnesota. My parents had never even been to New York, you know.
Right.
New York
right.
to me was just this place you don't really hear about, but, you know.
Right.
But the first time I went, I fell in love with it. And it was wonderful. I still love New York.
And you went to London, too, didn't you?
I did. When I was in college, I went out to the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts and studied Shakespeare
for a
summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You've really done it all. So obviously, you took some risks and did some scary things, and it really paid off for you. So what, you know, obviously we're talking about dance, not creative writing right now, and musical theater and acting and all the things that go along with it. But I feel like in all the artistic disciplines, whether you're a writer or an actor or a musician, that it still takes a lot of inner focus, and you have to really dig deep into your heart to decide if this is something that you want to do, because there's sacrifices involved and there's risks. And could you speak on that a little bit?
How
did you get the courage to do what you're doing?
I think it all comes from the same place, honestly. You know, I've dabbled in, there've been times when I've been sick of doing musical theater, and I've dabbled into writing, or I've dabbled into music, or all those other things. Again, it's, you know, you try other things and you don't feel happy and you don't feel that your heart is in them, and then it, you keep coming back to your art, and that's the only time that you ever feel that joy and you feel the energy and you feel like you're in the right place. That's kind of what happened to me. Taking big risks and then finding the little things that would push you to the next step, the encouragement from other people or the little success that you would get, whether it's nailing an audition and getting a job or if it's just positive feedback, and then you feel like you're on the right path.
So really what you're saying is that, one, it has to come from within, and it's just really you breathe and live it because you love it. And you just have to do it.
You have to love what you're doing. And you have to feel as if you have to do it. If there, and I honestly, if there's something else you can do and be happy, do it, because it's easier. You know? There's stability there.
So there's the advice. You know? If you can find
something else. But if you can't, and you really know that you can't, and this is what you have to do, then nothing else matters. You know?
Yeah.
Not having the kind of money that you want, or not having the ability to go, you know, to the mall every day. Or my dancers struggle with that. You know?
Yeah.
They know that they could, you know, have a day job and make more money, but for them the sacrifice of performing is worth it for them.
Well, and it seems to me that you mentioned teamwork as well, and also just having a support group behind you, and dance is especially fortunate in that you often dance with a company like yours, and you have a network of people who are sharing a passion for their art. And it seems to me that that would be a really necessary feature as well as you're trying to delve into your art.
Oh, completely. I think they all kind of help each other to stay in the path when, you know, they're working nights and other people are working days. You know, they kind of have the camaraderie to be on the same schedule.
It becomes like a family. Almost.
It becomes a family. It very much does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes creative writers are a bit of a disadvantage there, because writing can be so solitary.
Yes.
But that said, all right, quick plug for the Shire, because that's part of why we're here. We do have a writing group that meets on Tuesdays, where students who love to write can bring their work and share it with each other and encourage each other in the process. So
it's very unusual, as people need to understand. There's not a lot of that.
No, I don't know of many writing clubs at all, certainly not for secondary students. So we're really fortunate that Kim, our programming director at the Shire, leads that.
Mm-hmm.
Last time around, we had 9 students there. So and
that's
after the second time of meeting.
Wow.
There's
a need for it. Mm-hmm.
There is a need for it. And so if anyone is interested, you can either email me, steph@theshireonline.com or kim@theshireonline.com, and we'll get you into that group. But back to dancers and dancing, because you have a very exciting production coming up called Dracula.
Yes.
And I would love to hear more about that.
Great. It's an original take. It's set in modern New York City, current day. It's a family-friendly show. We're kind of losing some of the horror.
The darkness.
The darkness that you normally acquire with Dracula. And we're taking it from his point of view. If you read the Bram Stoker book, everything is about everybody else's point of view. And we're trying to flip it on its head and say, what about this character? What is his point of view? And how can we have some sort of sympathy for Dracula instead of seeing him as this ultimate villain? Who really is the villain? He's the outsider, and everyone has, you know, prejudging him. So there's live music, 10 professional dancers, 2 vocalists, 6 people in the band, and it's pop music.
Really
Nirvana,
fun.
Foo Fighters, Lady Gaga.
Are you serious?
Yep.
With Dracula?
Awesome.
With Dracula, a little Bon Jovi.
That sounds fabulous.
Well, that sounds really incredible.
And when
incredible.
Is it?
March 10th to the 20th at the Ritz Theater. And you can find out more information at collidetheatrical.org.
Collide.
Theatrical. Yeah, okay. C-O.
So C-O. Let me see if I can spell. I'm a writer. I should be able to, right? collidetheatrical.com.
.org. So close.
.org.
.org.
Clyde.
Nailed it, though.
.org. This is why I was never in a spelling bee of any sort whatsoever. So, anyways, Regina, it is so nice to
have
you here.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate you being here. And it's inspiring to me to hear the journey that you've taken and how you've been successful. And I love that you just need to really follow your heart. And as a mother, maybe I don't want to end on this. Maybe note, not. I can't resist. But if there's something else you love, kids out there, like engineering or STEM, feel free to.
But also point your toes. Point your toes and work really hard.
Yeah, but point your toes and work really it. Hard. And you know, in the end, it's the journey that we That's have to decide it. That we take. So yeah. Thank you, Regina, very much. Well, we are here to also thank Wendy Gimple at wendygimple.com for sponsoring our show. Wendy is a real estate consultant here in the Valley who just does an extraordinary job of both listing houses, making them sell, and finding homes. So Wendy has made it clear to us that inventory is low right now. So if you want to
sell your house
as quickly as possible, now is the time to do it. And also, don't forget, never underestimate the power of curb appeal. Make
Absolutely.
Your house
look as pretty, sparkly.
Absolutely. Make it as attractive
Clean.
As possible. Tidy up the front yard. Mulch and pull weeds. Power wash the exterior. Wash your windows.
Paint
add fresh flowers. All of those things are important when you sell your house. You do those, boom, you will sell it right away. You are listening right now to Voices in the Valley, thanks to Wendy Gimple, here on KLBB. Next up, Emma shares an essay she wrote about the last goodbye with her father. The interview is sponsored by Quickfire Pizza on Main Street here in Stillwater, which, as the girls will explain, is pescatarian, vegetarian, and ballerina approved. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Voices in the Valley on KLBB 1220 AM. The last half of our show is always student-hosted, and if you are a secondary student listening to the program right now and you're interested in being involved, please email me, Steph, at theshireonline.com, and we'll see what we can do to connect you. But now I'm delighted to introduce our student hosts for today's show, Christina, a ninth grade Lakeville North South High School student, and Natalie, a 12th grade PSEO student at the University of Northwestern. Welcome, Natalie and Christina, to the show.
Hi.
It's really good to have you here. And you have a special, special guest today because you have one of your best friends, Emma, on the air. Is that right?
Yeah, we love Emma.
Emma, hello. Welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Hi.
It's good to have you here. Well, why don't you guys tell me, how did you all meet, the three of you? Because Emma's from Stillwater, and Natalie's from Elk River, and Christina, you're from Lakeville. So those are all kind of far away from each other. So tell us, how did you guys meet and become friends?
Well, we actually were dancing together, but we weren't that close at that time. So this summer, we hosted Emma to stay at our house for the summer. So that's when we really bonded and got really close and grew a friendship.
Yeah, and Natalie stayed over in August for some summer intensives, and it was quite the couple of weeks. Some fevers, some sprained ankles.
So you really bonded over the hardship of being ballet dancers.
And it was great.
So tell me where you guys dance.
We dance at Ballet Royale, Minnesota. It's in Lakeville.
And you guys have a show coming up, don't you?
Yeah, actually. I'm not in that show, but Christina is.
Okay. Yeah, it's Cinderella 1944, and it's from March 4th through 6th at the Cal Center. And you can go to TwinCitiesBallet.org if you want more information.
Oh. Yeah, so it's really cool. It's got swing dancing. It's got an epic love story.
Ooh, epic.
Cool.
All set in World War II. I love it. Well, I just have to put a plug in for one of the Shire classes because I have three ballerinas here, three dancers, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about a class that the Shire will be offering on Sunday, April 16th with Regina Peluso, who was on our show earlier this morning. She's the artistic director with Collide Theatrical, and she's going to be offering a class called Jazz Dance and the Art of Storytelling. You can learn how to use your bodies to express words and to create story through movement. So definitely check that out at theshireonline.com. Well, when you guys come to Stillwater, which I know you do and you have sleepovers, where do you like to go to eat? What do you guys like to do?
Quick Fire Pizza!
Oh, Quick Fire Pizza. All right.
That's our go-to place.
And why is that your go-to place?
Well, Christina is a vegetarian. I'm a pescatarian. Natalie eats meat.
Yeah, I like all food.
So when we go there, you can get individual pizzas. It's cooked in like this really cool fire pit thing that I'm sure is way more technical than that. But it's really cool. We get individual pizzas and take it to go.
And Natalie and Christina, do you like going there too?
Yeah, we love going there.
Yeah. And it's like walking distance from Emma's house. So we just walk there and buy pizza.
So is it fair to say that it's pescatarian, vegetarian, and ballerina approved?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And you know, people, after they win something, they say, where are you going? And everyone says, I'm going to Disney World. For lunch today, after you, we complete this episode, where are you going to eat?
Quick fire pizza!
All right. Awesome. Well, girls, why don't I turn it over, because you have some questions for Emma, and go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, Emma, are you comfortable with sharing about your dad?
Yeah. It took me 2 years, but I think I'm there.
Okay. So can you tell us about this writing competition that you took part of?
Last fall, I was my modern teacher from Threads Dance Company, talked about a writing competition. You could get free tickets to their Warriors of Light Threads Dance Company show if you won this writing contest. So the prompt was, write about something that made you stronger. And so immediately my thoughts jumped to my dad and that situation. So I wrote about kind of my last moments with him and how it affects me today and how it kind of puts a filter on my life. And I ended up winning, which was super cool, and got to read it to an audience, and it was just, it kind of put me on a new path.
Was it risky?
Yes, because it's hard for me to share something so personal. It felt really therapeutic, actually, to share it, but at the time I was really insecure. What if I came off like I was self-pitying myself or overdramatic or just kind of full of myself, egotistical, just all these things. I was really insecure about it. So, yeah, it was a bit of a risk.
How did you muster up the courage to submit your essay?
I submitted it 1 minute before the deadline of September 31st at 11:58. I was like, I had already written it. I usually take things to my mom to edit, but I was like, no, I'm not even going to tell her. I'm just going to submit it. So I submitted it, and they emailed me saying, congratulations, come to our show. You have 2 free tickets.
Say, Emma, before you read it for our listening audience out there who may not know what happened, could you just briefly tell us what happened with your dad?
When I was 10 years old, he was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer called, myxoid round cell liposarcoma cancer. I've said it so many times, I can't believe I just forgot that. But 4 years later, he ended up passing away, and that kind of dominated the beginning of my teenage life. So,
oh, well, I'm looking forward to hearing your essay. Thank you for sharing it with us.
I felt dread. One wouldn't expect such a thing while staying in a building the size of a mansion. It was true that a small living area held a fancy couch, and across from that, a high-definition, flat-screen TV. It was true that this led to finely carpeted hallways that connected 4 thickly wooded doors to equally lovely rooms. It was also true that yellow flowers posed on the windowsill, and the walls were colored a calming pastoral green. However, the couch, though sumptuous, sat forlornly with only the barest potential for comfort. The TV, though large, only played trashy soap operas. The doors, though thick, said nothing of the paper-thin walls that conceded to the sounds of raspy coughs from dying patients across the hall. The fragrant flowers, though pretty, did nothing to mask the odor of death, medicine, and old people. Plus, the walls looked like a rotten garden regurgitated its breakfast. But the absolute worst part of this place was the truth. Behind one of those 4 thick doors was my dad. And he was dying. The deathbed held him, a plastic white contraption that took on the responsibility of moving him up and down, since he, paralyzed by the cancer that broke apart his spine, no longer could. The blinds, closed and dreary, leaked dimness into the room. I held my father's clammy hand and commanded myself to breathe. He's paralyzed from the waist down, my mother had told me 3 weeks ago. I tightened my grip on his fingers. He's in a comatose state, she whispered 3 days ago. I sucked in a shaky breath. "He's entered the active stage of dying," she said yesterday. I choked on my watery saliva and salty tears while staring at my father's once lively face. I stroked his slimy, gaunt, ailing brow while noting his cheekbones sticking sharply out. I listened to his breathing, now so irregular I had no doubt it would stop. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Gasp for breath. Breathe out. 1, 2. His new respiratory pattern. I smoothed his black hair off his sticky forehead and giggled at his ridiculous bedhead. I chortled again, and then I began to cry. My father's body was small, shrunken from his original 6-foot height to the size of a frail boy. He made noises from the very back of his throat, and his mouth widened, showing off his crooked British teeth. I burst into speech. I'm not sure what I said or even how I said it. I am sure that my entire body was shaking and tears traced down my chin and onto the thin cream blanket covering his blue pajama-clad legs. His hand still in mine hung limply like a rabbit hanging from a noose. Golden hues of his wedding band kept on his skeletal finger by tape glittered even in the darkness of the day, a final tribute to my parents' marriage. I stood from my chair, placed the last kiss I could give him on his forehead, and turned towards the door. Goodbye, Daddy. As I left the room, I pushed back the desire to collapse by his bed and never leave. Instead, I gave a watery smile and allowed a sense of numbness to consume me. Chin up, I thought. I continued to be haunted by my father's passing. I think I always will be. He died March 11th, 2014. I was 10 when he was first diagnosed. Walking away from him, knowing it was the last time I would see him alive, I learned a valuable lesson. No matter how crappy life becomes, you keep your head up and put your best foot forward. As my brother was on the brink of tears, I magically found the right words of comfort. On late nights when my mother didn't make it up to bed, I helped her up the stairs and under covers. When my friend cried to me about how unfair her dad was, I listened. That night, I vowed to myself, no matter what happens in my life, I will always put my best efforts into everything I do. Life's short. I don't want to waste a second.
Wow. Emma, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you to Natalie and Christina for being such good friends to you throughout this whole process. I'm grateful for the opportunities that are given to students here on the show to be able to do such deep sharing like this. Emma, tell us before we wrap up our show, because we're coming to the end, how did people react to this when you presented it?
I was actually really touched by how people reacted. One lady came up to me. She sat a couple rows away from me, and she thanked me for reading it, and she told me that her mother had died 10 days prior, and that my essay had just given her the strength or the energy that she needed to really get back on track with her life. And that was a big aha moment for me, and it really changed.
And you've written a blog now, haven't you?
Yeah, mostly because of that woman, and just everyone's had experiences like this.
So tell us your blog.
It's iperformtoday.wordpress.com. is the website. It's basically a performing arts exploration blog mixed with my experiences with cancer and being a teenage girl growing up. It's kind of like an online diary. Scary.
Wow. I think that's very brave. I'm so glad you had the courage to submit it, even if it was 30 seconds before the deadline. So, Christina and Natalie and Emma, enjoy Quickfire Pizza. Meaningful moments like this were made possible by Quickfire Pizza, made to order individual pizzas, wood-fired to perfection, cooked and ready to enjoy in only 90 seconds. No wonder you guys like that so much. So I'm sure you'll enjoy your lunch very, very much. We're so glad glad that you joined us today. We encourage you to take risks in your own creative writing. Join us next week for Voices in the Valley when Claudia and Celia from River Falls High School join us to interview author Anne Greenwood Brown and discuss how to revise a novel. Voices in the Valley is sponsored by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Find out how to list your home to attract the best buyer by connecting with Wendy on wendygimple.com. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Valley on KLBB 1220 AM. Now go forth and write.
Voices in the Valley is a production of the Shire Literary Center. Connect into creative writing classes, writing clubs, and other opportunities at theshireonline.com.